singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. And so I bless the Lord for how good God's been, what he's done, what he's going to be doing. In the day and hour we're living in, here's the way it works. There's a lot of fellas across the country. I've heard them in Bible conferences and this and that, and somebody getting them a turn. And as a result of it, they just had no life. They had nothing. I could call you in that man's name. He's a good man and all that business there. Resigned his church, went into full-time evangelism, was preaching for Brother Dub Hendricks. Y'all remember Brother Dub. And somebody walked up to Brother Dub and said, I want to know who told him he was a preacher. That's tough, buddy. I said, I've been trying to tell you for years the same thing. I don't mean that ugly, but I did mean it and it sounded ugly. They're just some people that have got it and they don't want it. Here's a got it and that really don't want it, but he'll find out later on whatever it is God needs for it. I know some people that have got it and that don't want it. I also know some that like to have it and can't get it. I'm just telling you, dead or 10 o'clock and all that business there. I knew a man that preached like a house of fire, crippled. He had to hobble all his way all the way up to the pulpit. He said, God's just about killed me and crippled me because that I've put him off so long, but I'm done putting him off. Now, that's a bad way to have to go through life. Now, don't let that rush you none. Yeah. Because you belong to God, and I'm looking forward to listening to what he has to say tonight. All right? God bless you.
Thank you. You bet.
If you have to cripple home, just remember.
I called Dad on Thursday night as I was going out of town just to check on him, you know, after losing the Miss Betty and the church member. And then that's whenever he asked me if I would fill in tonight. My initial thought was, I'm never calling to check on you again. But anyway, I'm here. Of course, I said yes, and it got me to thinking. It got me to thinking about, with him being the pastor, he don't have a lot of people that he can just call on that's willing to fill in for him. If it was any other man in this room called me asking to help, if Joe needed help with the motor, I wouldn't know what to do, but I would help him. If any other man in y'all's profession, if y'all needed help and called and asked, I'd be willing to help you whether I knew what to do or not. So why is it different with him? So that's where this message is going to come from tonight. Is it's going to be titled, What Are You Willing to Do for God? So as I was driving, three different Bible stories came into my mind, and I just kind of rehearsed them back and forth as I was driving there and driving back the next night. And then I put it all on paper today. I have a bad problem with, I can make it all make sense in my head, but whenever I move it from my head to my mouth, it don't sound the same. So just know all this made sense to me whenever I wrote this down, and I'm going to do my best to be able to portray it and talk about it to y'all. So we're going to start off with Genesis chapter number 22, talking about what are you willing to do for God? Y'all will stand, and we'll start in verse number 1. We'll read a few of the verses as a base, and then we'll go through the majority of the chapter. And it says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass and... And I and the lad will go yonder and worship, come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went off of them together. Jared, you want to open us in prayer? All right, so we're going to start off here in verse number one. It says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And that's what jumped out at me was the last three words there, here I am. Abraham obviously recognized the voice of God when God was talking to him. How many of us can say the same thing when God's trying to show us something? Do we recognize it, or is it a foreign tongue to us because we don't know what God's trying to do in our lives? What is Abraham obviously recognizes what God's doing to him and what God's telling him, because his instant response was, Here I am. It's not, Who art thou? It's not, Who are you? It's not, Where'd you come from? It's, Here I am. He recognized the voice of God. Abraham was ready to listen, and he was ready to hear what God had to say. Here I am. Second verse, God gives Abraham instructions. And it says, verse number two, he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So the instructions is to give his son up as a burnt offering. Right there in verse number two. So in verse number one, Abraham was ready to hear him and hear what God had to say. Verse number two has the instructions, and it's going to be offer your son that thou lovest, your only son. It's not like he had any other to choose from. It's very direct. It's your only son that thou lovest. God tells him what to do. Verse number three, what I find remarkable is Abraham's response. Abraham's response, it says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Abraham didn't argue with God. He did exactly what God told him to do. And that's where each and every one of us, I know myself, would fail. I would have a big problem with that instruction from God and trusting God through all this. But I'm not Abraham. The faith of Abraham, if you see in verse number three, he rose up early in the morning to go do what God had instructed. How many of us would be that bold and that trusting in God to follow through with that instruction, with God's instructions in verse number two? When God speaks to us, he wants us to do it. It's not a negotiation. If God said it, we should believe it and follow through with it, because he knows what is best for us. But it's our human nature, our human flesh, to always want to argue. And God is one person. God is one thing you don't want to argue with, because he knows what's best for each and every one of us. Verse number 4-6, it says, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye there with thee, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. Abraham didn't try to pull no funny business. He took his son Isaac as instructed. He didn't try to take one of the other boys that he took with them. He left them with the ass, which was the donkey. He left them with their transportation to watch over that while he goes carries out what God had instructed. You see in verse number 4-6, Isaac helps him. He loads Isaac with the wood and the torch and everything that's going to be used in this offering. But if we notice in verse number 7, it says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac obviously knew what they were about to do, but he knew there was a piece missing. He knew that something else had to be with them to carry out what they were going up on the mountain to do. He obviously had enough knowledge about burnt offering because he knew the lamb was missing. Verse number 8, it says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Right there in verse number 8, it says, God will provide himself a lamb. And what every time I read that verse or any other verse about God providing, a saying pops in my head. It says, when God guides, he provides. Where he leads, he feeds. Abraham took his son up on that mountain by the instruction of God, thinking that he's going to have to give him as a burnt offering. But God is guiding him through this, and God's going to provide the ultimate outcome. Verse number 9, it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Throughout these 10 verses, we don't see one argument from Abraham towards God. It's just Abraham following God's instruction. Abraham was willing to follow out God's instruction because he knows that God knows best. Whenever we think we do, he knows God knows best. Verse number 10, he stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He's carrying it out. Now in verse number 11, it says, and the angel of the Lord called out to heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Again, Abraham's ready to listen. We saw it in verse number 1, here I am. Verse number 11, it says, here am I. He's ready to listen what the angel of God has to say. He says, verse number 12, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld my son, thine only son, from me. It says in verse number 12 that thou fearest God. Abraham does what God commanded. How much do we fear God in order to do what he commands in our lives? I guarantee you if I lack in that area right there, as every one of us might. Every one of us does. We're all human. But we go down to verse number 13. It says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. So verse number 13 is talking about the lamb that's provided that was referenced to verse number 8. It says, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham's carrying out the instructions of God. Verse number 13, God's provided the lamb that he's going to use for the burnt offering. Verse number 14 through 18, it says, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And they said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed in the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Let's read verse 18 also. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham carried out the instruction of God. Now God's going to bless him, because that last phrase of verse number 18 says, thou hast obeyed my voice. When we follow God's will and we're in God's will, God's going to bless us. God will bless us more than what we can understand. People today, they may not feel or see the blessings of God. Well, then maybe they're not right with God. If you don't have the blessings of God upon your life, maybe you're not following God the way that you should be following him. Maybe you're the one that's lacking. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's going to be us that are the ones that are lacking. If we're not getting the blessings of God, we're going to be the ones at fault. Or we're so blind we can't see the blessings. A lot of people, we want God to bless us to the full extent, but are we willing to serve God for the full extent? We want everything that we can get, but how much are we giving God? Abraham was willing to use his only son as an offering to God because that was God's instruction. We might have to give something up or cut something or someone out of our lives to get the blessings of God. What's holding us back? You'll have to choose which one, what you're willing to let go of, because you cannot hold on to the world and you cannot hold on to God. If you're holding on to the world, you can reach all you want to towards God, but until you let go, you're not going to be able to grab Him. We're talking about willingness and blessings. Another story that came to my mind, a Bible story, is in John chapter number 6, whenever he fed the 5,000. I'm just going to touch on this for a second. It says that we're going to look in verse number 8. It says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" So the reason I bring this up is the willingness to give. You know why this lad gave 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? Because that's all he had. He gave everything he had for the work of God, for this miracle. Jesus fed the 5,000. So we just read about Abraham following the commandments of God and being blessed. This lad comes and gives 5 barley loaves, 2 fishes. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And then if you look down, it says, Jesus took the, in verse number 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So not only did Jesus feed the 5,000, the giver of the 5 barley loaves, he got blessed and got 12 baskets full. He was willing to give everything he had, and he came out blessed. Just like Abraham got blessed for following the commandments of God, this lad right here got blessed for giving to God. What are we willing to give? What are we willing to do for the work of God? So we read the story of Abraham in verse number 1 of chapter 22. God gave him a commandment. God gets his attention. In verse number 2, God gives him instruction. Verse number 3, Abraham arose and he went to go fill out the instruction that God gave him. Another story that came to mind, the third story, is the story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah in the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that the great city, and cast it, for their wickedness is come before me." So in Genesis, there is instruction in verse number 2 for Abraham to give his son to the Lord as a burnt offering. In Jonah chapter 1, verse number 2, we see instruction to go to Nineveh. But verse number 3, where the outcome is where it's different. Where Abraham arose and went, verse number 3 of Jonah chapter 1 says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into go with them to the Tarshish for the presence of the Lord." Now we all know the story of Jonah. He had instruction and he fled from it. But there was also consequences for that fleeing. So if you read all the way down through chapter 1, let's just read it. It says, verse number 4, "But the Lord set out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to the lightning of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his follow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause that this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause that this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou the country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, and the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know for my sake this great tempest is on you. So in chapter number one of Jonah, he flees from what God had instructed him to do. We go to the rest of those verses, there's consequences not only for Jonah, but for everyone that he's around. Everyone that he's around is feeling the consequences that Jonah's receiving for him fleeing. Verse number 12, Jonah knows the problem. We got to eliminate him in order for everyone else to be safe. Now, we know that there's more of the story. They cast him over so the seas could be calm. So I've got bullet points here. It says, Jonah, he heard the word from God in verse number 1. Verse number 3, he fled. Then there was consequences, not only for him, but everybody that was around him. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. He spent some time in the whale. And I grant you, if you're in a whale's belly, you're going to have a lot of time to think about what God has told you. Because there's no other distraction. Jonah still went to where God wanted him. But Jonah had to go through a lot of consequences for fleeing in order to get there. If we just follow God and do what God says, it's going to be easier on us in the long run. You cannot outrun God, because he's always going to be a step ahead of us. He's always going to know what's going on. And God disciplines us because he loves us. If you're a child of God and you're not in God's will, you're going to be disciplined by God. So after I talked to Dad on Thursday night, and he asked me if I would cover tonight, this is what immediately God put on my heart, was the willingness to do for God. That's all I've got.
Amen. Good job all the way around. Yeah. Good job. Excellent. All right, we'll stand to our feet. I always like that story about Abraham and Isaac. Did you notice all that was happening on the third day? And verse number 4, that text that he read, all this was taking place on the third day. You know what day that is? That's the resurrection. You read over there in the book of Hebrews, and the reason why he was so bold about offering up his only begotten son is because he knew that God was able to raise him back up. And so as a result of that, you talk about a man of faith, but certainly that he was. All right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We want to thank God for how good he's been. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, God, I've been wrestling with him over this or that. I'm ready to turn loose, let go, and let God have his will and way. Rather it be salvation, rather it be service, whatever that it is, this is between you and the Lord. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word, and Lord, the good preaching that we've already heard. May you hide, Lord, thy word in our heart, that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. We do pray that, Lord, you'd continue your blessing in the church. And Lord, I pray that you'd add to it as it pleaseth thee. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.